Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Take-Two Radio. This is Pam, your host, and joining me today is my good buddy and co-host, David. And David, I think we have spooks in our studio.
Yes, and it's early.
I know. You know, normally I have to push that intro button to start the music, and all of a sudden it just started by itself, and those of you that don't know, David and I are on Skype at the same time as we do the show, so we don't talk over each other. And I just asked him, like, did you push that button? And he said no. So either that or James, our guest, has a very long arm.
Yep.
So let's go ahead and welcome
two
James
very long
Burns. Oh, boy, that was really strange. So, James, did you do it?
Of course I did it.
Yeah.
I have friends in many places, and I have them playing with your control board right now. So
is that what
yourself.
It is?
Yeah, behave yourself.
Boy, and no forewarning either. I think you're doing a Marine thing, you know, just a surprise attack.
Technology, baby. It's all about technology.
Yeah. Well, as I started to tell you before we went live, I'd like to go ahead and let our listeners know who you are, because there are some people may not have listened to our last show and
mm-hmm.
may know your name but can't figure out exactly how, and you know, may know
mm-hmm.
your face and may not know how, and you know how that goes.
Mm. Yes, I do.
So when did the acting bug bite you?
The bug? Wow. You know, I kind of arrived here by accident. I have no other life skills, so I just had to, that's all I can do. It was a strange little journey. I was a professional hockey coach and player up until 2004. And then I decided that I really got sick of kids changed. I changed, the kids changed, I didn't enjoy it anymore. So I just, you know, What's a wash-up jock going to do? Be an actor, why
right.
not?
Why not?
Why not? I mean, because, you know, it's such a safe and secure profession. That it's, there's so many safety nets around you when you do this thing. So,
yeah,
definitely. I like the constant self-abuse you get at being an actor.
Yeah.
Like being an athlete, you know.
Yeah. One's physically and one's mentally, I guess.
Well, kind of both, actually, in my case, because a lot of times it's just about, it takes a high amount of energy to do this thing, especially when you do roles like I do, a lot of action roles.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can be on set 18, 19, 20 hours, and, you know, and the thing about when you're sort of, you know, when you're on camera, you got to perform. You can't just, you know, you can't phone it in. If you do, it's there forever. And believe me, I have some
right.
performances that I would like to have back. There's some movies I've done. Oh my God, please! It's there forever, man. So you got to be careful that when you step up, you have the energy to do the job right. Because if you don't, people will see it until you die, and
yeah.
then some.
Right? Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you too. How you felt you have grown as an actor since you first started.
In all honesty, I think I'm doing the same thing I've always done for the last... I've only been in the business maybe about really 10, 12 years. Only the last 5 or 6 where I've really been what I'll call a professional actor. I think I'm just more comfortable now. I don't think I do anything different than I did 10 years ago. It's just that you become known for doing... It's like trust. When people... When you have evidence, you can do a role... then people trust you to do that role, so you have more opportunities. So it's just, I think I'm just more comfortable in what I do, and it's more fun, yeah, just because I'm not as worried about things.
Right, exactly. Just like anything else that you're first learning, you know, once you get the hang of it, then you don't think about it so much anymore. You just do it.
Well, I've had the same approach since I started, which is based on a whole athletic mentality, you know, preparation, research, preparation, execution. And it's so I take every project on the same way. I do a lot of homework. I spend a lot of time knowing, you know, being a professional, you know, getting to set. I mean, you can mess around and have a great time on set
mm-hmm.
if you deliver. If you don't
right.
deliver, you're going to have a hard time. So I like to walk in. I kind of like to see myself like a Peyton Manning of actors. I just come in
yeah.
over-prepared, over-ready. It's probably a horrible analogy because he's way out of my league. Anyways, it's like that. The approach is you come in so prepared. You're over-prepared. You have every eventuality covered in your head. So when things happen that you're not expecting, you have resources to fall back on. You know, you can have
right.
things happen where, you know, they change the scene from being inside a van to being on top of a cliff someplace. You got to be able to make that adjustment, even though it's not yours to make. Well, okay, adaptability comes from preparation.
Exactly. And you did a lot of stunt work. I mean, how do you prepare for that? Is it just a lot of practicing?
Well, I don't. I'm not a stuntman. I do my own stunts.
Yeah.
Again, because I have an athletic background, I stay in shape, and I do tumbling, and I do a lot of, you know, stay fit. That allows me to do my own stunts. But I'm not a stuntman per se.
Right, right.
No one's ever going to hire me as a stuntman. But when I take on a role that requires stunts, by all means, I'll do it. That's because that's part of my performance. So I have to have some stunt. I've got stunt training, and I've done extensive amount of work as, you know, doing stunts, but I don't sell myself as a stunt guy.
Right,
it's a whole other
right.
profession.
Yeah. I mean, do you enjoy doing your own stunts?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's great. Come on. You know, the fights and weapons work, and you jump off a building, you drive cars. I mean, that's the best part of the business. You get to play with the toys and do some cool stuff. You know, yeah, it's a playground. And again, if you're an ex-jock or an old jock, this kind of stuff is second nature. You know, body awareness, body control, timing. You know, interacting with other athletes. It's the fun part of the day. Now, granted,
mm-hmm.
if you get beat up for 10 hours. Sometimes you get hit pretty good. There is a little bit of a downside, but for the most part, it's a lot of fun.
Well, which role would you say taught you the most as far as skills or anything that you may have changed, even though you say you pretty much stick to what you started with?
Well, I think it's I'll say that it's the roles that have embarrassed me that I've learned the most from. There's certain roles when I see, and there's certain movies that are out there, and I cringe because I know the performance is terrible. And I know because, oh, my God, what was I thinking? And those are the ones that educate you. Your massive failures
mm-hmm.
are the ones that educate you on what not to do. Or, God, I wish I had done. It's more about regret. Oh, my God, if I had just, you know, done this a little bit longer, or if I just had done this instead of that, it's the regret of you could have done so much more with the situation had you been better prepared or had you thought differently about it. So
mm-hmm.
those are the roles. And there's a lot of them. I mean, I've been in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of projects, so I can't really say one. I can just say that I know the feeling that when I look at myself, oh, my God, I could have done so much better than that. Those are the ones that bother me because, you know, you don't get it back. Once you do it, it's
right.
there. It's done. There's no second take on life, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, I know that I've spoken with a lot of actors and a lot of musicians, you know, that have said, oh, I wish I would have done something differently. But you learn from it and then you go ahead and you put that into your next role. So, or your next, you know, album or whatever. And it's, everything is going, you know, everybody goes through a learning phase no matter what they're doing.
Well, I think your entire career is about learning. If you stop learning, you get stagnant. So there's, I mean, every job you're on, you bring everything you know to it, and then a new circumstance challenges you to, you know, rearrange your thinking. Or there's always something you're going to do differently because, you know, every moment you change, from job to job, each experience changes. I just got back from Japan. I was on a job there for 4 weeks, and it's totally changed the way I see the job now. I mean, the Japanese do things in a much different way, and I love their intensity and preparation. So I just, you know, I gathered a lot of insights into an alternative way of making movies and being in this business. The Japanese have a whole different take on things. So,
right,
yeah,
right.
It's great. It's having the freedom to just absorb new environments. I mean, there's always young kids coming up with great new ideas old guys with great new ideas. So just be open to new ideas, react to it. Read and react, baby. Read and react.
Yeah, definitely. David, I think you had a question.
Yes, I did, sir. Who or what are the three main influences in your career?
Who or what are the three main influences? It's such a broad question. Other actors, and I mean everybody. I watch guys like Ed Harris, Clint Eastwood, George Clooney. I just watch everybody who does what I want to be doing. I study them voraciously. Directors, because I'm moving to the directing realm. I'm a big Kubrick fan. I'm a fan of. I've watched Chinatown maybe 100 times.
Wow.
I watch Apocalypse Now 20. Well, there's certain things I beat in, and for me, Chinatown may be the perfect movie in my mind. If I can watch it forever, there's a certain level of an eternal story that never gets old. It was directed so well, so well acted, so well written. John Huston. Oh my God. There are so many opportunities to be educated, to be moved. There's so many. Who has really reached out and touched me? The first big break I've ever gotten was a guy named Mark Teschner. He's a casting director at General Hospital.
Yeah.
And yes. Mark in the blue, out of the blue, I've known Mark for years. I knew from back in New York City, the 80s. He called one day and said, "I got this part for you. Are you interested?" And I go, "Yeah." it turned out to be a 2-year gig on General Hospital, and it wasn't an audition. It wasn't anything except that I had done my due diligence. I had, taken jobs. I'd built a demo reel. I'd put myself out there, and it happened to be the right role, and I was the right guy at the right time, and it was an offer. It came in, and next thing, 1 week I'm on a plane going to New York. Next week I'm working on General Hospital here in L.A. It happens that way. It just comes out of the blue sometimes. And so he was the first person who really gave me He gave me an opportunity. It was a gift, and I'll never forget that. So I would say the first person who really touched me in the business like that was Mark Teschner. Boy, that came out really wrong. The guy who touched me, that really came out wrong. That is such a horrible way to put it. That will cost me. So that's why I hate doing interviews. I just see open mouth, shirt foot.
Well, we would have never thought it if you didn't say it.
Well, it's where my brain goes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm so involved in the Twitter universe and the 140 character conversation that these little things, this would be picked up if we were like on a YouTube thing, it's like something. We've been picked up and basically turned into this, Burn says, General Hospital casting touched him. Like, oh God, I can just see the way these things blow up,
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I could just picture that.
Casting, that would happen. Yeah,
you got to be careful how you phrase things in 140 characters, because they definitely can be taken out of context, that's for sure. And people read tones differently than when they hear you say something, versus that.
No
so,
doubt. No
yeah.
doubt.
Well, of course, we know that you are huge in Call of Duty Black Ops 1 and 2 as Sergeant Frank Woods. Let our listeners know how you got that.
Oh my God, it's a really short story. It's the right guy in the right place at the right time. That being said, it's an audition. They're actually looking for somebody to test the technology for this new thing back in 2009 called performance capture, and that's what they use for Avatar. And that's where basically they take all these white dots and they put it on your face. And they captured the movement of the face, and so prior to 2009, 2010, video games were made by several different people. You have a guy who was the voice, a guy who was the face, a guy who was the body, and you take several different performances and make one performance out of it. Needless to say, that's a very cohesive way of getting performance. So they wanted to have, they wanted to tell a greater story. They wanted to tell a more nuanced story. So they said, we need to capture a real performance. So they wanted to, looking for an actor to who had weapons training and stunts training, mm-hmm. stunt training, and I just happened to be, I fit that profile. I went in, met with them, they hired me, and I had no idea it was even Black Ops. For me, it was just Untitled Video Game 7, and that's what I, you know. And then I finally figured, when my manager said, what's the name of the game? I said, Call of Duty, Duty. He said, oh, my God, it's the biggest game in the world. So, you know, it was a simple thing. I almost didn't take the job. I almost turned it down because I thought it was a stunt job. I said, you know what, I don't want to spend 3 months rolling around getting beat up. And then finally I he said, no, you got to take this gig, man. And it was worked out. So it just worked out. You know, I just they really just wanted me for the testing, and then I guess they liked me enough where they kept me. You know, I know they were trying to cast some other guys for it. They just felt that, you know, I was the guy. You know, sometimes you're just the guy they want.
Yeah.
You know, you can't control, like, yeah, just like General Hospital, it just happens. You know, right place, right time, and you're the guy.
Right, exactly. You just fit it, you're fated, that's it, you're it. Now, you won a VGA award in 2010 for Best Character Award. I mean, you know, just imagine you didn't take that role. You wouldn't have won that.
So many things would have happened if I didn't take that role. There's so many things that would not have happened. So that, you know,
right.
It's a blessing. I mean, it's a big opportunity, and I feel very lucky to have been a part of it. Plus, yeah, it was fun. It was a great job. People I work with her, I love Treyarch. I love activism. All the actors I had the opportunity to be with were, you know, labs are really close friends now. So it brought a lot. Brought a lot of light into my life, I believe. You know, this video game about death and destruction brought a lot of light and happiness into my life. So, go figure.
I know. Well, for the gamers out there, including the ones in my house, is there going to be a Call of Duty Black Ops 3? Have you heard of anything about that?
I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of Black Ops 3. If any what I can say is that they're working things out right now. I know there's things on the planning board, but they're keeping it very close to the vest. And I think there's a lot of changes happening in the industry in terms of the technology that's being available and the computers' capabilities. So I know one of the concerns is that they don't, you know, when you start planning a project like this, it's such a huge investment of time and money. It's millions of dollars to make a video game. And they got to be sure that when they do a story, the story will, you know, will fully utilize the capabilities of the technology. You know, they don't want to underwrite a story to have this technology that can do much more than the story allows for, but they don't want to overwrite the story so that the technology can't keep up with it. So they kind of need to sort of find that happy medium. Okay, where are we now? Where will it be in 2 years? When the game is finished and going out, because it takes 2 years to make a video game, so there's a lot of considerations that really need to be, you know, fixed before they start asking me whether I want to be involved or not. You know.
Yeah, and the gamers out there don't think about that ahead of time. They, you know, just like making a movie or a TV show or anything like that. There's so much more that goes on behind the scenes before something is even started, let alone to be released. So that's purely understandable.
Well, that plus off the, you know, the video game community is bombarded with this yearly cycle of releases. I mean, this is November, mm-hmm. so you got you got Call of Duty Ghost coming out. You had GTA just came out. There's games coming out all the time in these release cycles, and then you're bombarded by. Grand Theft Auto. You're bombarded by, you know, all this media, and now there's, you know, what's happening is the film stars are starting to become a very big part of the video game world. I mean, it hasn't, but now they're becoming. Where Sam Worthington played he was just a voice in Black Ops. Now you have, you know, Willem Dafoe and Ellen Page are both the two lead characters, recognizable lead characters in Beyond Two Souls, the new one's coming out.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, so there's a real shift happening in the validity of the video games. So there's going to be more impetus put in that, and a lot of cross-pollination of films and online activity. So if you think the game is being bombarded now, wait, give it a year. It's going to be like a nonstop stream of give us your money. You know?
Yeah. And
please,
woe is us parents.
Yeah, I know.
You know, especially now that I've got G kids, you know, that I have two G sons, and for those of you that don't know, I call them G.
You sound like you're 22 years old. There's no way you got grandkids. What, you born pregnant or something?
Well, yes, that's exactly what happened. That's what happened. And my kids were like, you know, well, I had them when I was, 10? And then they had kids when they were, 11. So, yeah, that works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now they are getting the flyers or watching a TV show, or even when you go to McDonald's, you know, and they're like, you know, Nana, I want the Batman thing or something. And, oh, my gosh, you know, you look at those little faces and you can't say no. So there you go. You spend money again and you get them their little toy. But, yeah.
Well, we all are getting rich off of this radio show, so what the hell?
Hey, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
God, yeah.
Now, speaking of games, I noticed on your IMDb you have Deep Down. What's that about?
That was about 4 days' work last October. I had no idea what it was. The place where we shot Black Ops, the actual studio, the facility, called. Listen, we got this test. Video game testing thing coming in. Would you help us out? You know, we need a guy right away. And you know, they've worked with me for. You know, they know what I do. Again, these are the kind of things that happen. You just kind of, you know, you're right guy at the right time, and they came in and did some testing for that, and it worked out so well. They actually kept it and used it in the game. But the game itself, I don't think it's an actual game yet. I think that was just a testing product for. For PS4, I think, for PlayStation 4. That's what I was told. I don't know if it's an actual. I mean, I think it's a single level of the game, and that's as much as I know about it. I mean, I went in and I played especially the lead character, the warrior, and I don't know that much about it. I'm embarrassed to say, just like it's.
Oh no,
It was 4 days of work, and I said, sure, I need a job. I'll take it. You know?
Yeah. Why not? And you have the experience, so there you go. And I'm sure it'll be a great game once it comes out. If that's what it ends up being, who knows? Maybe you're going to end up on the movie screen and don't even know it yet.
Yeah.
Were there any gaming conventions over the summer that you were able to attend?
I went to Hartford. There's a wonderful. They do a wonderful. So it's the Kineticon. What a great, intimate event. It was great. I mean, I love the fans. I mean, in all honesty, the video game fans, especially my fans from Call of Duty, are just great. I mean, they're informed, they're enthusiastic. When I get a chance to spend time, I really enjoy it. So most of these conventions are really fun for me because I get to spend time with the fans, see what they're doing, see what they want, see what their expectations are. And hear the stories. I mean, there's
right.
Every kid you meet. I can meet thousands of people. You know, in 4 days you meet, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, and it's nice. It's a lot of energy, and you know, and it's validation. Come on, man. Who doesn't like to be adored? You know, come on. I love the attention. It's great. I mean, I'm Woods, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so true. Now, I know, like we discussed before, that you're a big hockey fan and used to teach it and so on. Have you been watching any of the new games this season?
You know, I I did a terrible thing.
What'd
I went
you
out
do?
And bought NHL.com, so now I can watch any game, anytime, anywhere. And it's the bane of my existence. I get nothing done. I just watch hockey. And hockey. So I'll probably never work again because I don't get anything done. I just sit here. Oh, the Penguins last night. Oh, wait a minute, my cup. You know, and it's like I just sit on there and I put a game. I have three games going at once because on a game, it's on a computer. So I'm like, you know, oh wait. Oh, the Kings are playing. I got tickets for the Kings. So I'll bring my iPhone. And I'll watch the Rangers play the Bruins while I'm at the Kings game. That's how insane it gets. But
Are you keeping an eye on my Blackhawks?
Who?
Are you keeping an eye on my Blackhawks?
Blackhawks.
And if you say who again, you know, you're in trouble.
They play in their college team. Blackhawks. Oh my God, I love the Blackhawks. So I have three teams that I shut it down for, and that is basically the Blackhawks, Pittsburgh, and Detroit. I think I just love, you know, those games. I'll watch those games because my three, you know, my favorite players, Patrick Kane. Mm-hmm. You gotta love the kid. You know, like Jonathan Toews, please. I mean, he's him and Coach Crosby and Datsyuk and everybody else. So I just love those guys. I mean, it's fun to watch.
Definitely.
It's been too much time. But, you know, the NHL now, is everyone is so good. I mean, there's just all the kids come out. They're big. Like, these are like, you guys are, you know, 6'4", 240. They're like, you know, football, like tight ends and football players. I mean, the athleticism is so great right now. I enjoy it. I mean, I'm a big fan. Yeah, so great. Thanks for getting me distracted again.
Yeah.
Thanks
Turn
for
off your mobile device while we're doing this interview.
I made a bunch of other things, and you got me talking hockey. Great, you know.
Okay, well, I'm going to leave it for one more question. You call the winner this year.
Oh, that's impossible. I don't know how to do that. I mean.
Oh, come on.
I don't do that. I have no idea. In all honesty, I'm a hockey fan. I just want to see a good game. I just want to see a lot of scoring. I want to see skill. I want to see good hockey. I mean, the Kings could win. Chicago could win. Boston looks great. Pittsburgh's ready. I mean, there's 10 teams. It's impossible to say right now. And anybody who says they know, it's full of crap. Because, you know, too many things happen. You know, if someone gets hurt, what if Crosby gets hurt? What if he doesn't get hurt? You know, what if Ovechkin's playing great? What if they, you know, you don't know. There's so many great hockey players. I watch for the skill. I watch for, like, I love the Kings because they don't have any superstars, but they're, like, probably as a team, built as a team. They're incredible because their four lines are so evenly matched that they roll at you four lines strong. It's hockey is more about watching the sport as opposed to I don't root for a team. You know, it's not my style. I like teams.
Well,
I'll watch anybody play. You know, I'm just a junkie.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you definitely are. Because I only root for one team, and that's the Blackhawks. If they're out of it, then that's it. I'm done for the season.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big Blackhawks fan. Big Blackhawks fan.
Well, let's get more into one last thing I want to bring up on your IMDb before we move on to the real reason you're here. You have quite a few upcoming movies, too. Is there anything you can talk about with those?
Oh, my God, yeah. There's a great one. I mean, I'll tell you when something stinks, and I'll tell you something that's really good. We have a really great movie coming out. It's called Cold Water. We've won a bunch of awards at different film festivals. We did really well at South by Southwest. Great. I'm very proud of this film. I hope it gets a theatrical release soon. And it's not a warm and fuzzy. It's about a juvenile rehabilitation center in set in the woods. And I'm the commander of this place. And you know, I firmly believe that I can, you know, help young men repair their lives and get on the straight and narrow. And things go terribly wrong for everybody. It's a wonderful film. There's a young guy named PJ Budiske who's like a young Ryan Reynolds. He does a tremendous job in it. And again, it's a fine little movie. And there's another film called Dawn Patrol, that's probably going to be at Sundance. I can't imagine someone's going to go there. It's starring Scott Eastwood, who's Clint Eastwood's kid. Looks just like Clint, acts like him. Has Rita Wilson, Jeff Fahey, J.C. Burns, and a bunch of other really fun people. It's another kind of dark and it's a suspense thriller. It's called Dawn Patrol. And there's Blackjacks, which is will be out in February. It's now called Seal Patrol. It was Blackjacks, now it's Seal Patrol, and that comes out, and that's about a special forces team that goes into a special research facility and encounters bad things. And what else? And Judge, something I just did in Japan, out in February, January. Comedy. I get to be funny. I was in Japan for 4 weeks. Love Japan, love the food, love the people. And then the last one is called A Certain Justice with Dolph Lundgren and Kung Lee. And that's that play detective. That's an ex-suspect of police action. So that's the IMDb cover. Yeah. But let me bark about the most important thing that I need to talk to you guys about. I'm making a movie.
Yeah, definitely. That's where we're going next.
That's why I'm here.
Oh, okay. You're going there. All right.
We're going to talk about Nam Zombies, and you blew me away because I did not know that you were going to be a writer.
I've written many screenplays. I've produced 3 films. I've directed one. I've been on that side of the camera quite a bit, and it's time to get there again. But this, the thing about Nam Zombies, this is for your listeners. Basically, Nam Zombies is a derivative project from Black Ops. It's not Activision. It's me. It's called Icewater Productions, and it's a script I wrote after spending all this time with fans around the world saying, "Why aren't you in Zombies?" You know, and I've been in a bunch of zombie films. I've been in a bunch of military films. And I said, you know what, let's put those two experiences together. So I wrote this script called Nam Zombies. It's about a covert special forces unit. They're on a mission in Vietnam, you know, during the Vietnam War, and they encounter zombies. And the story is really unique. And it's funny because it's a buddy movie, but it's kind of like Predator meets Apocalypse Now meets Tropic Thunder. You know, but it's not a it's just a lot of humor in it, and we're very excited. But the big thing that we're trying to do with this film is we're trying to include the gaming community. So I've already gotten, you know, I put a thing out where I request art for the posters and music for the soundtrack, and what I'd like to do is be able to fill all the key positions in the movie with people from the gaming community, people who are fans of, you know, Black Ops or other games, and have it be like basically fan sourced. So, you know, if there's some kid out there who's got a great song, right? Wouldn't it be great if I could say, yeah, this perfect for this scene, let's use that song in the movie. And, you know, if some person has some artwork they want to use for a poster. And I just got, someone just submitted, say, a great piece of art for a poster for Nam Zombies. And it's already happening. We haven't even gotten to making the film yet, and kids are already submitting things. So the goal is to create a venue for people who don't have opportunity to be involved in a very big film. Because, you know, if we make this film, you know, what's Black Ops have? 50 million fans? If we can get 10% of them to come to the movie, which they probably will, we have a rather successful film.
Definitely.
And so that led me to the idea that, well, if I have to turn it over to a studio, they're going to take a lot of the nuances that I want in it, and they're going to want to use the field, sort of like their people they're comfortable, you know, they're going to use their musicians, their art department. And for me to control all that, so I'm able to use the people I want to use, I need to basically make the movie on my own. So what I've done is I've made a crowdsourcing campaign on Kickstarter, which and now we're trying. So the whole idea is we want to get $1 from 2 million people. $1, four quarters.
Yeah.
The change you leave in the pocket of your cup holder, you know what I mean? We want that.
We all do it, too.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
if anybody listening right now went and either looked in their car or looked in their couch, they're going to find $1.
$1. Yeah, just $1.
Hey, look. Wait. There. I just found him.
Yes.
Look at him. He's looking.
Thing is, and what happens is if there's $1, you get a reward. You get an extra. I will send you a ringtone made for, you know, Non-Zombies backers.
I like that idea.
Yeah, so basically you're buying a ringtone for $1, but the dollar's going to make this film, which then may be hiring you to be part of the film. I mean, this is how great it is. And I'm trying to get the community to see that, you know, you're investing in themselves. Plus, it's, you know, I want the people to feel like they're part of this thing, because this will be a very big project, and if I can get everybody to be included. I like inclusion. You know, never like when I was a coach, I used to hate cutting kids. They used to make me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I had to cut somebody, you know? And this, like, if we can include everybody, just, hey, I put $1 in that. Wouldn't it be great if everybody in the audience said, you know, I put $1 in that.
I know, right?
Or if you walk around and you have on your phone this ringtone, like, oh, what's that from? Oh, I'm an investor in a film. You are not.
Yeah.
No, I am. Look, I have this. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes,
like,
it would.
You know,
I love that.
They have some 16-year-old kid, like, he's like, hey, I invested in the film today. You did. Yeah, look, I did. I put $1 in Non-Zombies. And if we can get 2 million people to do that, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Oh,
you know,
my
and
gosh.
That's my whole. Wouldn't that be great? That's what we're trying to do here. Yeah, make it fun. Like, have everybody participate in this thing. And, you know, I want to be able to have people have parts in the movie, and, I, you know, they'll take artwork and music, and, you know, if it fits the film, I'll put it in it. If it works with the film, I guarantee you it'll get in there in some way, shape, or form. You know, and there's
now how,
you know,
does somebody submit a piece of art or a song? How do they submit that to you?
You can either go on the YouTube channel, send me an email. Some guys you can do it through YouTube. Go on to my YouTube channel, Sergeant Frank with YouTube. You can go to my Twitter account, which is just James C. Burns. Go to the Twitter. Or just, you know, Google out Non-Zombies and follow the trail. I mean, like, it's, you can come to the Kickstarter, and it'll give you some information there. You know, but again, nothing happens unless we get this thing funded. So,
absolutely.
I mean, so I'll take any ideas that you have on how to get people to move towards Kickstarter to throw $1 in there. Let me ask you this.
With,
yes.
Because you have so many fans for Black Ops, do you have, like, a separate email address where your fans contact you through that besides on YouTube? Like, do you have a database of that?
Most of my fans contact me directly. You know, like, I'm pretty accessible. I have hundreds of kids I talk to over, you know, course of a year. You know, if you send me an email, I'll get one back to you. I mean, that's kind of the thing that I really pride myself on, is that, you know, my YouTube channel, I try to answer every single comment that I get. You know, even the negative stuff, you know, I'll crack a joke or something. Mm-hmm. But it's like, mm-hmm. I think if someone takes the time to reach out to me, I'm going to reach back, you know, and that's easy for me to do right now.
If you're able to access a lot of these kids and even adults, of course, that play the games, you know, through email, you send out an email blast about Non-Zombies and, hey, you want to be part of the movie, you know, donate $1 and you're part of the movie, you'll get this ringtone, you know, and go that way. Also, another thing I was thinking about is when you were mentioning your YouTube, and I'm sure you've got, you know, thousands of hits on there. Maybe can you go in there and edit it and add something at the bottom, you know, be part of my new movie and click here for details or something?
I already have it there. I already have
Do you have it there?
Yeah, it's up on it's ad product. I put it out there on Saturday. But here's the thing. Here's what I think is happening is that if you Google Non-Zombies right now, I mean, there's have massive coverage. Charlie Intel's written an article about us. We have articles. I mean, we're easy to find. Nam Zombies already has massive visibility as a brand, as a product. What I think is happening is I think people are intimidated to go to Kickstarter because they say, oh, my God. I think people are intimidated by donating a dollar. You know, or it's like it seems like it's too much work. And I understand, like, it's not an easy process. You actually click 3-4 buttons in a row. I'm not being facetious. You know, when you anytime
no,
you
it is. It's very easy.
Donating money, it's intimidating. And I just have to find a way to get the fan base to be more comfortable. It's only a buck. It is a buck. I mean, we all have a buck. And I hate to be so cavalier about money, but it's like a buck. You know, it's 100 pennies, man. We have lost more than a buck. And I go, I'm just looking for that dollar. I don't need – I mean, there's other levels of rewards, but I just want – I would love – wouldn't it be great if we could get 2 million kids, 2 million people to donate a buck? Wouldn't that be, like, an amazing story? Like, we got 2 million
people. It would.
And this is what I really want to happen. I mean, I'm sure that if it fails, I'll get approached and somebody's going to want to invest in it because it's a great script. It's a great brand. And it'll do well. But I would much rather do it with, you know, a couple million kids donating a buck, and they can all walk and say, I'm a film investor. I mean, that, to me, would be the best thing in the world, to have that formula.
That's huge for a kid these days to be able to go to school and say something like that, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's
so,
very big.
You know, if there's any parents out there that are listening right now that have kids that, you know that would love to do something like this, donate that dollar for them. You know, let them know what you did, and he'll send you the ringtone to give to your son or your daughter and let them go to school and be able to have that and brag about being part of the film, because I would love that. I would love to see parents do that for their children, because that would be huge for their egos or their self-esteem or whatever, which way you want to put it, you know, to be able to have that bragging moment.
It's good for them.
It's like Wheaties. It's Wheaties.
Yeah.
Well, I have no doubt. You know, the thing is for me is I have no doubt this film will get made. Again, because like this, I've already had interest in backers for the film, and I really want to do it through fan sourcing. And so I'm going to work really hard to get this. I have 30 days to get 2 million people to send me a buck. And there's a lot of help, and it's a nice idea, and it's a generous idea. So I think we'll be successful. I just have to find a way to get people more comfortable with the actual process of getting that dollar into Kickstarter. You know, that's the hardest part. I mean, I've gotten thousands of responses through Twitter and you know, and people, oh, let's do this. This is great. But come on, you know. We got to find a way to get them to motivate and move towards that contribution. You know, that's the biggest part right now for me.
Yeah, and David and I have backed quite a few of these different projects, and he and I can both tell everyone out there, I mean, it's a hop, skip, and a jump. It takes, you know, less than a minute of your time, and it's something that you'll feel good about doing. And it's something, you know, that you really believe in, then go ahead and donate. And even if you want to go to a higher level, I mean, James, your perks are unbelievable, and you have so many of them. I think you're the first person I've ever seen that came up with so many perks. Where did all these ideas come from? I mean, you must have sat down at least a weekend and thought about all of these.
It took 4 months to put my Kickstarter together. Because what happened was that when I was traveling to the U.S. so this summer, we do trips. I went to Afghanistan with the USO back in July, and that's when I really started thinking about doing this, because all the soldiers, hey man, you should do a Zombies. And I go, yeah, you're right, I should. So I just go by what people like. I mean, T-shirts are always a big deal. Challenge coins, which is something unique to the military. It's an actual heavy coin that, you know, there's a history with in the military where basically you put it in your pocket. And you take it out, you drop it on a bar, and say, you know, it's a way to keep alertness. It's called a challenge coin. Look it up. And then we have a head cover, like a boonie cap. And then there's pictures. There's opportunities to go to You can go to advanced screenings. I have I'll send you a copy of the script the day before it opens. We'll have a production diary. There's so many cool opportunities, and you know, you get a weekly update from me and different things. You can come to weapons training if you have enough. You know, some of these rewards are kind of high end, but if you have extra money to spare, you can come to the premiere, be my guest, sit with me. You can come to the after party with me. You can name one of the characters. You can name the gun that I use. You can be a producer on it. There's a lot of opportunity. And to get to these places, I just figure, what would I want? And I talked to a lot of fans. I sat down with kids and said, what would you want? And, I was at the Hartford Comic Con. I said, what would you want as a reward? They said, T-shirt. Hat, this, and I just wrote it down. So this is just I ask what the fan base wants, and then I deliver it. And the script is basically the same thing. So what would you want Woods to do in a zombie battle? What would you want to happen? And I took what I was told, and I just applied it to the script and everything else. So basically, when I say this movie was inspired by the fans, sincere about that. I mean, I'm incorporating all the information I've been given over the last couple of years from the fan base, and then I want it to be made by the fans. I want to use their music. I want to use their artwork, and then it's going to be for the fans. So it's inspired by the fans, made by the fans, for the fans. That's kind of the motto for this whole thing.
That's awesome. That really is. I mean, that should be enough inspiration right there to go ahead and donate some money to it. Be able to donate, $10, for $500,000 people. I mean, that would be overwhelming. But I just absolutely love the idea of having 2 million people, kids, donate that dollar.
Wouldn't that be great? I mean, I just the whole concept, 2 million, kids, 2 million gamers, a bunch of 16-year-old kids. Dropping a buck for this. I think it would blow my mind. I think it would be the greatest story of the year.
It would. I mean, that would be a huge selling point, I think, for that movie. Besides what it's about. I mean, to be able to say that.
And what if one of those kids actually got a song in the movie or some of their artwork for the poster?
Yep.
I mean, it's just so many great possibilities that can come from this. Again, this is really why I wanted to do this. Through a crowdsourcing venue, just so we had these opportunities. Because once somebody puts their money in, they're going to want to, they want guarantees to get their money back. They're going to want that. Because when you invested a buck, again, you can forget about a buck. But if you invest $1 million, you probably gonna need that money back at some point. So I'm going for the cheaper option. Put a buck in, and it's easy. A buck is easy. So I don't even ask for more than a buck. I just ask for a dollar. I just want a dollar. That's it. It's all we need is a buck. Everybody just throw a buck in.
Anybody can do that. They can throw a dollar in.
Now, do you have certain locations that you've chosen already to make the film, or is it going to be in one particular place?
It depends on the budget. It depends on what we raise. If we make the bare minimum, which is what we have on the Kickstarter, then I'll probably have to stay local. We'll probably shoot it. I'd like to shoot in Thailand because there's some opportunities there, but I want to employ as many Americans as I can, so I would rather shoot here, but it's a lot more expensive to shoot in Los Angeles. I'll shoot some of the interiors of a great zombie battle we have, and it takes place inside a building, and that's going to be shot here in Los Angeles over probably a 1 or 2 week period. And that's where we have a lot of fan participation, being zombies. And again, there's a lot of cool stuff we're going to have an opportunity to do. And so if we had the budget, I'd like to do it here because I'd like to employ American actors and American filmmakers. But if we're not able to make that money, then we're going to have to go off the reservation and shoot it somewhere else.
Now, I love your video that's on Kickstarter about non-zombies.
You
crack me up.
You
are so funny, I swear.
Yeah, that is a riot.
Did you do that by yourself?
Oh, yeah. That's it's me, my iMac, and iMovie all getting together.
Oh.
Which is why it took me so long. I mean, I mean, it's funny. Right? He's a funny guy. The guy talking, he makes me laugh. The guy on this, but that's me. I refer to my characters in the third person because, you know, it's I have to. But it's
yeah.
Fun stuff.
Now it's by Icewater Productions. Is that your own production company?
Yeah, that's me. I'm Icewater Productions.
Oh, cool! Boy, you're just getting your fingers in all the pies, aren't you?
Well, it's look. Anybody can call themselves a production company. I mean, like it's the same. Yeah, you know, it's the same office that I keep my computer and my guitars and my hockey gear in. I mean, yeah, this is Icewater Productions right here.
Yeah,
it's much more glamorous than it sounds. It's just the title, and anybody can make business cards out to say Icewater Productions. It's kind of what I did. So, but you got to start somewhere, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that you are going places and going to be doing not just in front of camera, but a lot of behind the camera things once this movie takes off and be working, you know, nonstop, which is a good thing.
I actually have three more scripts to make. I've got a little sci-fi feature called Orbs. And then I have a Tarantino-esque film called Bento Box that I'd like to get done. And then I have another installment of Non-Zombies 2 ready to go. So, yeah, we're one at a time. Do the first ones and they all fall in line. But we got to get Non-Zombies, again, to do it with the fans. That's what I want. That's my motivation. Like I said, I can make movies. I got people who want to invest in movies, but I just know what's going to happen if I take their money. And if I have to take my film, fine. But I would much rather do it this way, where I can have, you know, have my buddies, have my fans around. I love these kids; they're great, you know. And even the adults that are fans of the game are blessed to work with. So.
Now, do you have a Facebook or a Twitter account for Non-Zombies yet?
I do, but I'm not using it. I'm running it all through James C. Burns. The Twitter is at James C. Burns, and the Facebook is James C. Burns. And I'm very easy to find. I mean, there's, you know, if you Google me, you're going to find a way to get in touch with me. I mean, just ask anybody who's done it. I mean, a lot of people reach out, and I'm very accessible. I just, you know.
Yeah, and they can also contact you if they have a question as far as, you know, whatever the question is about this movie, through Kickstarter. There's a contact me on there, and that'll send you an email. So if you have any questions for James, you can go ahead and press that little contact me thing, and the email pops up, and you go ahead and write your email.
Yeah, just keep it clean.
Yeah.
I recently had to change my phone number. I had somebody get a hold of my phone number and started texting some pretty, you know, he was like, oh, no, I'm not going to be Anthony Weiner. No. No, don't send me these pictures. What are you doing? No. I had to change my phone number. I was terrified. Oh, my God, why are you sending these pictures for? I 3 minutes later, I changed my phone number. I said, wow, that's not good.
No. Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine that happening to me.
Neither could I. I'm looking and go, what? What is this picture? Yeah. And he's like, oh, my God, no. Who's this? No.
Are you sure somebody wasn't just pranking you?
It doesn't matter because the police don't know it's a prank, you know. No, this is, you can't. Even if it's a friend, I go, guys, you can't do this to me. This is not in this day and age. No.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a joke anymore. It's like, you know, people get in trouble for innocent things like this. I go, no.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, for our listeners out there, you can go to Kickstarter.com and just type in Non-Zombies, and it comes right up. It's the only movie with that name. And watch the video, read what he's written, and go ahead and make your donation. You won't be sorry. I know I'm not, and I know David's not. So
I'm not sorry.
No, definitely
a
not.
Buck.
We
a buck. $1,
yeah.
$1, $100, $100. I'll take pennies. I don't care.
No. Well, I hear two. No.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting 100 pennies from 2 million kids in the mail?
I would. I'll take it. You know, it's just, the idea is like, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a great story?
Yeah.
You know, how many tons of pennies would that be? That'd be like 100 tons of pennies, I think.
Oh my God, at least, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be funny. And think about it. How many times are you walking down the street or you get out of your car at the grocery store and you see a penny on the ground? Pick them up. Before you know it, you have 100 pennies, and there you go. Pass it on to Jim.
I know. That's right.
Yeah, I know that. From when I was a kid, when you would see a penny, if it didn't show the face, you're not supposed to pick it up because it's supposed to be bad luck. But I don't believe in that anymore. So all of you kids listening, it's not bad luck. Pick it up. It's money. So we're coming to the top of the hour. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this?
No, I just want to say thanks for having me on again. I really appreciate you taking the time to put me on your show.
You're very welcome.
You guys are great hosts, and I always enjoy talking to you, so let's do it again soon.
Oh, we will.
Thank you.
We will, definitely. And I will keep on promoting your movie for you on Twitter and any of my social media websites. And I put it on my website on take2radio.com. If you go under projects that need our help, you'll see it right there. So if you forget if they forget the name of the Kickstarter or anything like that, just go to my website and click on it. It'll take you right to Kickstarter, and you can make your donations.
Okay, here's an idea we had. I just throw it out there for everybody who's listening. Like, let's say you're somebody who wants one of the higher priced Kickstarter elements. Like, say you want a T-shirt for $50. We have a pledge of $50. You get a T-shirt. You get a copy of the script. You get a preview of the sneak preview of the playlist, and you get the ringtone, and you get the production diaries that's sent out every week. So you want to get that. Start your own Kickstarter to raise the $50 to get. There's creative ways to do this. Hopefully I can get on Machinima and tell people some creative ways. Right. So you can start your own Kickstarter to raise the $50 to get that contribution. You follow me?
So yeah.
I like that idea.
I'm around kids. I want kids to start feeling empowered to start creating and doing things. This is why I want them to feel like they have access to making a movie, access to fundraising, access to, you know, to raising capital. Because that's our future, you know. So why don't you do your own Kickstarter. Look, I want to raise $50 to get a Non Zombies T-shirt that helps, you know, help finance Non Zombies. Well, you know, do your own process. You know, learn to do these things on your own. Have it take on the job training, and get creative as to ways to raise your own funds to get this done. And again, a buck, you know. Start with things that are manageable. A dollar, you know, a quarter, you know, whatever your situation is, you know, learn to aggregate and, you know, get your capital together, and then build a foundation. And I think I see so many upsides to doing it this way. And again, I want to thank you for giving me a platform to talk about this stuff. But this is one
you're
of the
welcome.
Ideas you know, do your
thank
own Kickstarter. Support the Kickstarter.
Yeah, I'd love to be inside your brain just for one day. I mean, just coming up with that idea of starting their own Kickstarter to be able to get one of your perks I would have never thought of that. And I've never heard of anybody else think of that. And there's a lesson in there, too, so of how to make money, you know.
Well, again, this is the movie itself. Making the movie is an opportunity to include other people, you know, kids mostly, and just people who want to learn how to do something like this. It's not out of, you know, it's not so big. It's not impossible. I mean, too many people sounds like it's a lot, but it's not. I mean, there are YouTube channels that have 7-8 million followers. You know,
right.
Everyone will give a buck. It's done. You know, we got to start seeing the world as a place of opportunity, as inclusion, and it being accessible. And again, for a dollar, it's a real easy call. You know,
for sure.
And you're not begging. You're getting a ringtone. It costs a buck. If you go to my website, we have a fundraising website. We sell ringtone. It costs a buck anyway. So it's like you're buying a ringtone. And the money's going to help, you know, build this movie.
Wow. You just blow me away. You really do.
Yep.
I love speaking with you. I love hearing your ideas. I love being inside your head for the 60 minutes because you are just so beyond creative and so caring and so passionate about what you do. And I thank you for that.
Yeah, I do too.
Cool.
James, you're inspiring. I got to tell you that you are really inspiring.
And there could not be a greater compliment to me ever given. And if I had that on my epitaph, I would be very pleased to have a life that was inspiring. You know, and so thanks for acknowledging that. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And thanks again for joining us, and we welcome you back anytime. You're part of the Take Two Radio family now, James.
Oh,
yes, you are.
Good. I'm happy to be so. I'm happy to be that.
Thank you. Now, you take care of yourself. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and try to stay away from the hockey if you have some work to do.
I know.
You had to bring that up, didn't you? Oh, man, my internet's down. My internet's down. So, thanks. Great. Thanks, Logan. And listen, everyone out there, just make a buck. Let's make this happen. Now, zombies.
Definitely.
Non-zombie.
All right. Hoorah. See you later. Bye-bye.
Take care, James.
Care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I mean, just for him to come up with that, I'm just in awe right now. For him to come up with that, you know, have a kid start his own Kickstarter to be able to...
Isn't that awesome?
You know... To get one of his perks to be investing in his movie and be part of it. That is so awesome. I mean, how many people have we actually interviewed that have projects like that, that ever came up with that type of idea? None.
None.
Absolutely none. So he amazes me. He really does. I just love him. And I can't wait to see this movie be made. And I have 100%... what's the word I'm looking for? Pride and being able to talk with him and see him move forward with us.
And I feel, I can't believe I did it, but I did it. I gave him $2.
Yeah, I know. You said you weren't going to do it this month because of funds, but...
$2.
You know, right? I mean, think about
and
it.
I have $2.
Yeah,
I'm looking at my 200 pennies right now.
No. I guess it's a good thing no one has his address.
<I know.
laughs> All of a sudden he'll see this huge truck coming, you know. A cement truck, except it'll be pouring out pennies. Oh, but please, please, listeners, do it for your kids. If they're big gamers, if they're not, it would just be a great thing for them to go to school and say, hey, I invested in a movie, and here's what it's about. I mean, my gosh, what you would do for your child. That would be something. You know, my kids are grown now, so, I mean, of course, I still have Alex, who's 17, and he's a senior in high school, but... you know, even if for the younger kids especially, somebody in middle school or you know, just a freshman in high school and sophomore in high school, those are the big gamers. And to be able to say that they've invested in a movie, that would be beyond awesome for them.
Yes, it would. It's beyond awesome for this big kid, too.
Yeah.
To be able to...
You've got nephews, right?
I have one nephew. One nephew, one niece.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's another $2.
Yep, I do it for him because my nephew thinks his uncle's cool.
Oh, there you go. I love it. Well,
yeah.
Thanks again for our listeners for joining us, and please go to Kickstarter.com and type in Nom Zombies, and it'll come right up, and do it for James C. Burns, and do it for yourself, do it for your kids. Also follow him on Twitter at James C. Burns, and go to his Facebook page, which is James C. Burns. Actually, it comes up differently now that I have it pulled up. It comes up facebook.com/burns.woods. And, you know, you can request to be his friend. It's not an actual like page like a lot of people have, you know, like we have for Take Two Radio. That's a like page. His is an actual friend request. So you would be a personal friend of James C. Burns. Another perk. Hello.
Another perk.
Yeah. And if you have any questions for him, you know, reach out to him, like you said, on YouTube or on Twitter or through his Facebook, because if you're friends with him, you can send him a message. Also on Kickstarter, there's a contact me on the right-hand side above the perks where it shows his picture. It says Project by James C. Burns, Los Angeles, California, and right under there it says contact me. If you click on that, you're able to send him an email. So with that, I think we are going to close the show. But before we do, tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, I hope you will join us, any of the fans out there of Young and the Restless. We are going to have Hartley Sawyer, who plays Kyle Abbott on the Young and the Restless, and I'm super excited to have him as well. We do only have him for 30 minutes, so, you know, if you want to join us, please do. If not, you can listen to the podcast once it's done. I will put it up on our website, and or you can listen through Blog Talk for it. If you follow us on Blog Talk, they'll send you an email each and every time we have a show scheduled, and that way you won't miss someone you want to, you know, listen to or even call in. We're always ready, willing, and able to take a phone call for our guest, and the phone number is 718-506-1540. Press the number 1 so that way we know you're on the line and you want to speak to the guest. And like James says, keep it clean.
That's right.
I'm just picturing him getting those pictures, you know what I mean? That's so funny. But I can imagine how he was freaking out, too, about that. And on Wednesday, October 9th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, it's a special time, we have a guest who is a multi-Grammy Award winner. Her name is Janice Ian. And if you are probably my age and, I don't know, maybe David's age, you might remember one of her huge hits was called At 17. And she's got 9 Grammy nominations and 2 Grammy wins. And the most recent Grammy win was this year for her Audible book, and it was for spoken word book, Society's Child. And she was in a category against President Bill Clinton, First Lady Hillary Obama, Rachel Maddow, Ellen DeGeneres, and I want to say there was one more, and I can't think of who it was. They were all in the same category for this Grammy. She won.
Mm.
How many people can say they beat out a president and a first lady?
Not many.
Really? And also, of course, the queen of talk and comedy, Ellen DeGeneres. I absolutely adore her and love her. I think she's hysterical. But she's going to be joining us at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday the 9th to talk about that, as well as her career, her other books that she's written, and the new book that she's come out with, which is called The Tiny Mouse, and it's a children's book. And also has a CD that goes with it that has songs on there for the book. And I was happily grateful and blessed to be able to receive the book ahead of time from her publicist and read it to my G kids over the weekend, and they had so much fun with it. It's such a cute book. So join us on Wednesday the 9th for Janice Ian at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And David will be with me for all of these. Yay!
I will.
Sabina's the slacker. She's the one missing out.
I will be here all. And so let me see if I put that right. You know, I put them all down on the iPad. So let me see if I got it done. I know I did. Let me just check. Janice Ian, I know I put that down.
Well, you better.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
okay.
I'm going to have to call Sabina, and then you're in trouble.
Okay.
6
p.m. All right. Yep. It's there. They remind me daily, you know.
Yeah. Sabina's not slacking. She's actually working. So, unfortunately, she's not going to be able to do a lot of shows. The place that she works at, a photography studio, is, of course, going to be very, very busy for the Christmas season. So she'll join us when she can, but we all love David and we're happy that he can be with us. So thanks again, David, for joining me. Thank you to all the listeners. Follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio and Take Two Radio Crew. That's with the number two. And be sure to go to our website, take2radio.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good evening and God bless you all. Good night, David.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Pam. Thank you.